live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Up, the man killed in a suspected hit-and-run incident in Letterkenny has been named locally as Jason Haughey. A number of suspected firearms have been recovered from a property in Derry. Pubs, restaurants and hotels are to open in Northern Ireland at the start of July. A public meeting is being held in Remelton next week to discuss the erection of a mast in Drummonahan Woods. Heavy downpours are expected throughout the country tonight, with Met Éireann warning of a risk of flooding. And Catholic confirmations will not be like those of the past when they resume later this year. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will also be here with all the latest in sport at around 5:15. But first in news, the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Green parliamentary parties will start having their say on a programme for government within the next hour. Micheál Martin is set to become Taoiseach until 2022 under the arrangement between the three parties. Sean Defoe has the details.
The leaders of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens have signed off on a programme for government. The three parties are all selling aspects of the deal as key wins for them. The Greens got commitments for a 7% reduction in carbon emissions and a rise in the carbon tax to €100 a tonne by 2030. Fianna Fáil say they secured a large package for social and affordable housing, while Fine Gael said they secured a promise of no rise in income tax or USC over the lifetime of the government. Fianna Fáil's deputy leader Dara Cleary hopes the party will back the deal despite some concerns.
I think it's the right thing to do for the country. In the context of the challenges firstly that were presented to us in February at the election, in terms of housing, in terms of childcare, in terms of health.
Fine Gael's Martin Hayden has a similar view.
I feel the onus is on Fine Gael here for us to bring about these measures and to try and put together that government. That's what we've done.
While the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan hopes there's enough in this deal to get his party on board.
I think political parties have an obligation for the people who vote for them, that even in hard times you're willing to take office and try and do your best.
There are already some expected dissenters like Fianna Fáil TD Eamon O'Queeve, and we'll get a first reaction from the wider party at the PP meetings this evening. Sean Defoe, Government Buildings.
The man killed in a suspected hit-and-run incident in Letterkenny has been named locally as Jason Haughey. Mr Haughey, who was in his 30s, was found by a motorist on the Windy Hall Road in the early hours of this morning. Investigations are ongoing. Trish Laverty has more.
At approximately 4 a.m, Mr Haughey was discovered by a road user on Windy Hall Road on the outskirts of Letterkenny. Carthy and emergency services attended the scene and he was transferred to Letterkenny University Hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. Following an examination of the area, it was established that he was struck by a vehicle which failed to remain at the scene. Forensic collision investigators remain at the scene, which has been preserved for a full technical examination. The road is closed with local diversions in place. Garthy are continuing to appeal for witnesses to come forward, particularly anyone who may have camera footage, including dash cam, who were travelling in the Windy Hall area from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. this morning, to contact them at Letterkenny Garda Station.
A number of suspected firearms have been recovered from a property in Waterloo Street in Derry. Police received a report shortly before 5 a.m. this morning, and as a precaution, ATO were also called to the scene to examine the items, which have been taken away for further examination. A man aged 24 and a woman aged 28 have been arrested on suspicion of firearms offences, and they both remain in custody. Waterloo Street has since reopened. Pubs, restaurants and hotels are to open in Northern Ireland at the start of July. Ministers and the Stormont Executive agreed to the move at a meeting earlier. From the 26th of June, caravan parks, campsites and self-contained tourist accommodation will also be able to reopen. Colin Neal, Chief Executive at Hospitality Ulster, says it's a welcome development. Yeah. Face masks are the next big step in the fight against COVID-19, according to the Minister for Health. The government has launched a new campaign to encourage people to wear face coverings where social distancing is difficult. Ads will be rolled out on the likes of TV, radio and outdoors, advising people on how and where to wear them. Minister Simon Harris says people need to make face masks a habit, the same way as we embraced coughing into our elbows and hand washing.
So I'm really asking the Irish people, just like they adopt adopted. The hand washing techniques, the cough etiquette, the 2 metre rule, this is the next big step we need to take now. Just getting into the habit of getting a face covering, wearing it properly and bringing it with you when you leave the house.
Gardaí say an attack on an elderly couple in Letterkenny appears to have had some level of pre-planning. A woman in her 20s broke into the elderly couple's house in the Coolboy area at around 7:30 yesterday morning. The woman, who's in her 70s, was knocked unconscious during the ordeal, while the man, also in his 70s, was severely assaulted. The woman is said to have fled the scene on foot with a small sum of cash and a number of items, including a wedding ring. Superintendent David Kelly is appealing to anyone who may have any information to contact them at Milford Garda Station.
From speaking with the couple, we believe the offender actually was a female. We believe her to be in her 20s, and she was wearing a black mask over her face. She shows some level of pre-planning. She had her long, long dark hair, I understand. She then stole a number of items from the house. She took a small quantity of cash because they had, I think, a number of wallets or purses taken, but I'd emphasise a small amount of cash. This wasn't a house that was target because there was a lot of cash in it. It was quite the opposite. A couple of mobile phones were taken. There was two electronic tablets. There was, I think, a 10-inch Lenovo and a slightly smaller Amazon tablet taken. In addition to that, there was also a 3/4-length blue coat. And I believe a number of rings, including a wedding ring, were taken as well. We believe the person initially left on foot. I don't know why that person was in the locality. Was there a house party in the area? These are tend to be happening at the moment with the restriction and lockdown changing, if you like. Was anybody at a party that knows a female fitting that description? Or maybe somebody, as I say, was in the area around 7:30 in the morning prior to the, if you like, earlier that she might have, or they might have seen her mooching around, for want of a better term, or indeed after the incident. Well, I'd just like to say maybe as well, nearby in townland of Coolboy, Kilmacrenan, just again off the main road there, there was another unoccupied dwelling forcibly entered. There was nobody living in the dwelling or there was nothing taken. So we are at this point in time, although keeping an open mind, we're of the view this may be linked. Maybe the person was there beforehand or afterwards. So we'd ask if anybody's seen anything suspicious, please, to contact the guards at Milford Garda Station.
A public meeting is being held in Remelton next week to discuss the erection of a mast in Drummonahan Woods. It's after Imbord Planála recently granted planning permission for the telecommunications mast despite grave opposition from locals. The meeting is being held on Wednesday, June the 24th at 8 o'clock in Drummonahan Woods at the site of the proposed development. John Stewart, chairperson of Remelton Action Group and Protests Arwood, wants Culture, who previously controlled the land, to step in.
Going back to 2003, the Culture handed over about half of this wood to the local community. And with the cooperation of the Tidy Towns, who put up half of the money at that time, there was lovely walkways put through that wood. And you can go the long route, which be a kilometre, maybe, or the long route's 2 kilometres, and the shorter route's maybe a kilometre, picnic areas. And it's an absolutely a great facility for the people of this area. And now by doing this, they might as well close the gates, because to have a structure of that size in such a beautiful area, it's really defeating the purpose. For myself, it started off really as a health issue, because I'm so uncertain about this 5G, but there's other people have the concerns about the woodland as well.
What next then, John? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you could argue that the planning process has been exhausted. You know, once Imbord Planála give it the okay, that's that. Unless you take something to the High Court, which would be incredibly expensive. So what is next, John? Do you see, from the Remelton Action Group's perspective, we'll have this public meeting, but then what?
Yeah. Well, I would like to see Culture coming on board and making it compulsory for them to take that mast to one or both of the other two sites. There is a way around it. And if this goes up and here in this wood, it's here to stay. Like, when we have the alternative sites, this is the maddening thing. Why not use them?
Catholic confirmations will not be like those of the past when they resume later this year. That's according to the church's most senior figure in Dublin. Ceremonies are expected to take place in August. However, rather than one large gathering, it's expected a number of services will take place. Archbishop Diarmaid Martin says they will take a cautious approach at the beginning.
You don't want to establish big gatherings, large gatherings, because that's where the element of risk is. So I think that you will have confirmations done, celebrated generally by the parish priest, but there'll have to be many of these ceremonies rather than organising very big ceremonies, especially in the initial period.
Donegal County Council's Economic Development Unit is currently preparing a remote working strategy for Donegal. The strategy aims to maximise the potential opportunity that currently exists for the county as a preferred location for remote working. Emma Rose Callaghan has this report.
Early indications suggest there is an opportunity for locations such as Donegal to position itself as a real and meaningful alternative to city life. The Council's Economic Development Unit would like to garner the views and insights from a range of key stakeholders on remote working opportunities for Donegal. This will feed into a new strategy that will set out a structured approach on how best to maximise the opportunities presenting for Donegal as a remote working destination of choice in Ireland. The consultation paper for consideration, which sets out details on how to make a submission, can be downloaded from the Council's website. The deadline for submissions is Friday the 26th of June.
Irish exports were down a third in April as the full impact of the COVID-19 lockdown impacted the Irish economy. 11.6 billion euro worth of goods were exported that month, down 5.4 billion euro on the figure in March. The value of imports also fell. They were down 735 million euro to 5.8 billion. It meant there was a seasonally adjusted trade surplus of 5.7 billion, down 45% between March and April. A union representing Aer Lingus says cabin crew members need time to consider changes to working conditions proposed by management. The proposals are aimed at avoiding further pay cuts and layoffs. Forza Trade Union is balloting its members on the measures with the result due next week. The union's Bernard Harper says workers should be allowed to look at the detail of changes that are set to last until 2022.
Our understanding is that management wants a quicker decision, but we've said to them and we've said to our members that the proposals that are on the table, if implemented, would be in place until February 2022. That's more than a year and a half. And we think it's entirely reasonable that the people who are going to be affected by that have a chance to read the details and express their views.
Heavy downpours are expected throughout the country, with Met Eireann warning of a risk of flooding. The forecaster has issued a status orange rain warning for Roscommon, Longford, Leitrim and Cavan, which runs until 6pm. Meanwhile, a status yellow thunderstorm alert is in operation everywhere. Met Eireann's Deirdre Lowe says those areas will get more unsettled weather tomorrow.
They're actually going to be more at risk tomorrow and during Wednesday. It's Leinster really that's at risk of the thundery downpours tomorrow, because it does get a bit fresher tomorrow in the west, but the east of the country is still going to have very hot, humid air tomorrow, so some thundery downpours are likely in the Dublin, Wicklow, Wexford area and maybe Lies during tomorrow.
For all the latest in sport, we say a very good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We're going to start with news of soccer and a scheduled meeting between the FAA and the SSER Trusted League clubs, including Fenharps and Derry City, has been postponed until Wednesday. It's believed the four European qualified clubs, which Derry is part of, were again asked to share part of the UEFA prize money with the rest of the sides. Derry, meanwhile, say they are unconvinced by the financial supports the FAA are proposing for the clubs. Derry, who are one of only three clubs who have kept their staff and players in full salary, say that effort and commitment has not been properly recognised. Meanwhile, the rest of the clubs in the League of Ireland are allowed to train as from today, but Fenharps and a few others have not yet returned to training and taken up the new schedule and the new parameters which are in place that include testing and, of course, strict protocols around health and safety. Sportswear brand Umbro has apologised for any offence that they had intentionally been party to in making the new Linfield shirt. The jersey came under criticism last week over its similarities to the Ulster Volunteer Force flag. Umbro say they are against all forms of discrimination, discriminatory behaviour and violence, and that the company won't promote the NIFL Premiership Club's new kit. Up in Scotland, Hearts have begun legal action against their relegation after clubs failed to back league reconstruction. The Tynecastle side, along with Partick Thistle and Stranraer, have had their demotions confirmed after only 16 SPFL clubs said they would support an expanded premiership. In a statement, Hearts say they are disappointed, yet sadly not surprised by the news. Football behind closed doors continues in Spain this evening. Third in the La Liga table are Sevilla, and they travel to Levante. That one gets underway at 6:30 this evening. Now to Gaelic games. The likes of Tyrone, Derry and Roscommon have all committed to dates to restart their respective championships, but the proposed campaigns in Donegal are parked until there is a clear picture nationally. With more on this, here's Owen Catterson.
The Donegal CCC are currently working on a fourth proposal on the championship, but that may not be ready for another week or two. Croke Park has allocated an 11-week window before inter-county football resumes, and officials in the county are waiting to get clarity on when Donegal will be starting before committing to a programme that will suit the clubs. When the National CCC release their fixtures, Donegal will have a concrete picture of their own schedule a couple of days thereafter. Tyrone will start their championship on the weekend of the 15th and 16th of August, with the final penciled in for the 20th of September, while Derry GAA have opted for a group format across all of their adult championships, guaranteeing all players at least four games as part of a new schedule. Those games will start on the 8th or 9th of August, with the county final fixed for the 10th or 11th of October.
And staying on that topic of club football, Donegal legend Tony Boyle is a guest on the DL Debate podcast this evening with Brendan Devaney. Tony, who is a minor board chairman with Dunloe, says a championship plan has to be released soon.
My immediate thoughts is underage, and we're actually having a club meeting tonight about it, because it's quite difficult to know what's the best thing to do for underage footballers, especially from under 12 down. Especially when there's still some confusion whether schools are going to be back in September. As regards the senior championship, I think that probably can be handled a wee bit better, because obviously, you know, the guys are adults and more responsible than that. And I do believe that, listen, you can run off a championship. I heard something muted about maybe the 16 senior teams broken into two divisions of eight, where you're guaranteed seven and run it off on a league basis, which sounds interesting, but I don't know. As you say, other counties seem to be further down the road with their planning than we are, you know, and I think it's something that needs to be sorted fairly soon, you know, because obviously teams can go back officially training on the 28th. Many are training already, but you'll not find it till the 20th of July. But there's still a lot of confusion out there, and need to be sorted as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think Ed Byrne's going to come up in a plan in a couple of weeks, Tony. So we'll wait and see what happens. The two groups of eight, I think, would be the most sensible to finish it out.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, it guarantees everyone football, and what that, you know, your top four teams and top two teams and your top teams generally going to want out on that anyway. And I guess if you go to a state knockout, the problem you could have is you could have clubs training and only get one game between now and the end of the year, which isn't very helpful. But as I said, my main concern as minor board champion or chairman is to try and sort out what's best for underage football, and that's going to prove to be a headache as well. But listen, we're sitting down tonight as a club and trying to plot a way forward, and that's the only thing in my mind at the minute.
You can hear Tony Boyle talk about his career with Brendan tonight on that DL debate. It's available as from 7 o'clock on highlandradio.com. Also joining Brendan tonight will be author, reporter and poet Gerry McLaughlin, and former League of Ireland and Irish League footballer who's now a gym owner and personal trainer, Vincent Sweeney, around health, fitness and well-being. In racing, ahead of day one of Royal Ascot tomorrow, racing continues behind closed doors in Ireland today. The going is good for this evening's card at Roscommon, and Donegal jockey Oisin Orr, who was a winner at Leopardstown on Sunday, is hoping for another good day Shannon side this evening. That's it from the sports desk. We'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning, Catherine.
Thanks, Oisin. Weather forecast now will dry in some areas with some good sunny spells, but showers also spreading, and some will be heavy with thunder. Winds light and variable. Tonight will be mainly dry. Mist and fog patches will develop in light variable or northerly breezes. Lowest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. The closing headlines. The Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Green parliamentary parties will start having their say on a programme for government within the next hour. Micheál Martin is set to become Taoiseach until 2022 under the arrangement between the three parties. The man killed in a suspected hit-and-run incident in Letterkenny has been named locally as Jason Haughey. Mr Haughey, who was in his 30s, was found by a motorist on the Windy Hall Road in the early hours of this morning. Investigations are ongoing. A number of suspected firearms have been recovered from a property in Waterloo Street in Derry. A man aged 24 and a woman aged 28 have been arrested. And pubs, restaurants and hotels are due to open in Northern Ireland at the start of July. Ministers in the Stormont Executive agreed to the move at a meeting earlier today. That's the main evening news and sport on Highland Radio for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, the 15th of June. The death has taken place of Ellen McNulty, née Kelly, 21 Knockrow Road, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to immediate family only, please. The funeral mass at 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning can be viewed live via the parish webcam at mcmmedia.tv/camera/Melmount Parish Church, Strabane. The death has taken place of Imelda Doherty, Strand Court, Buncrana. In compliance with guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private. The funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock will be streamed live on webcam via churchservices.tv/Cockhill. The death has taken place of Tom Campbell, Glebe, Carindonagh. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the burial is strictly private. Donations in lieu of flowers to Hillhead Presbyterian Church, Carindonagh, care of Pat Kelly, funeral directors or any family member. Service of Thanksgiving will be held at a later date. And the death has taken place of Bida Sweeney, Golan, Milford. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake and interment will be strictly private.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online. This is Highland Radio, your voice, your station. Highland Radio.